Laudator Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI addresses the faithful gathered in St. Peter's Square for the Angelus prayer on this third Sunday of Advent. Putting manual lymph drainage on the map to improve the quality of life for hundreds of thousands of lymphedema sufferers, a chronic condition caused by an impaired lymphatic system. Don't know what to put under the Christmas tree for Mom this year? How about going ethical and joining the many who have opted for a virtual gift to help people in the developing world? Pope Benedict XVI addressed the faithful gathered in St. Peter's Square for the Angelus prayer on this third Sunday of Advent. Lydia O'Kane has this report.
In a crowded St. Peter's Square on Sunday, which now proudly displays a towering Christmas tree twinkling with lights, Pope Benedict, during his Angelus address, said, "We should all delight in the fact that the Lord is near."
On this third Sunday of Advent, we are called to rejoice because the Lord is near.
Pope Benedict then posed a question, asking, "What does it mean, the Lord is near?" He explained that St. Paul took it to mean, in his letters to the Philippians, that the return of Christ was close at hand, and that we are invited to rejoice in his coming.
As we renew our hope in Jesus and look forward to his coming, may we experience in our lives the deep joy of his salvation.
St. Paul, continued the Pope, also warned in his letters to the Thessalonians that we do not know the day nor the hour of the Lord's arrival, so we should be on our guard for his return. So, the Holy Father explained that at that time, the Church already increasingly understood that the closeness to God is not a question of space and time, but a question of love. Among those present at this Sunday's audience were around 2,000 children wrapped up warm against the winter chill who had come with families and from parishes and schools in Rome. They brought with them their little baby Jesuses, or bambinelli, the statues that will be laid in the crib on Christmas Day, and they held them up high for a traditional blessing by the Pope. As the Pope blessed them, he said it was a great pleasure for him to be doing this, before inviting the children to follow him as he recited this prayer.
Dio nostro Padre, tu hai amato tanto gli uomini da mandare.
God our Father, you had so much love for man that you sent your only Son, born of the Virgin Mary, to save us and to bring us to you. We pray that your blessing of these images of Jesus that will come into our homes in the next few days will be a sign of your presence and your love. Father, give your blessing also to us, to our parents, to our families, and to our friends. Open our hearts so that we will know to receive Jesus with joy, to always do what he asks, and to see him in all those that need our love. We ask you in the name of Jesus, your beloved Son, that comes to give the world peace, he who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. After reciting the Angelus prayer, the Holy Father greeted all those who had made the journey to St. Peter's Square and wished them a blessed Sunday.
Thanks there to Lydia O'Kane for that report. Advent is a time in which we tend to put together and to broadcast joyful programs. It's a time in which our thoughts race forwards to Christmas, and most of us are filled with the expectation of the feast to come. It's the time during which we think of decorating the house and buying gifts for our loved ones. But it's also when loss becomes more poignant and we think back to when we used to celebrate together with family members or close friends who are with us no more. If you've been listening to our programmes here on Vatican Radio, it's also the time during which we choose to highlight the predicament and the pain of those who are ill or in need. Because as Pope Benedict said at the beginning of Advent, it's the time during which God speaks to the heart of his people. Today I'm going to introduce you to a special woman and mother. She lost her daughter Katie to breast cancer that spread 7 years ago. Since then, she has made it her mission to do her part in alleviating the pain and the discomfort of so many other cancer patients in Britain whom, like her daughter Katie, may be afflicted by a condition called lymphedema, a condition that she says just isn't even on the map. Her name is Patricia Walrub, and the first thing she wanted to do was to tell me who her daughter was.
Well, my lovely daughter Katie, she died aged 35 on the 9th of December 2001. She was a very special girl, attractive, intelligent, quick-witted and full of fun and very popular. That's why her friends still support the fund that I have set up in her memory. She's a wonderful daughter and a great support to me. And I just wanted everyone to know that.
Patricia told me that after the initial shock and grief and anger following Katie's death, she felt that although there are many cancer charities out there, there was a void and the need to do something more to help cancer patients.
One of the things that Katie suffered from, because after her first operation, she had an operation on her lymph nodes, and the removal of the lymph nodes blocked the flow of the lymph, which flows all around your body like the blood circulation. And she had enormous swelling, which I think quite a lot of people have after that operation, on her arm, on her breast, and so on. It was extremely painful, irritating. She used to get in the car and put the air conditioning on to cool it down. She put ice on it. So it was a very, very difficult time for her.
What is this condition called?
It's called lymphedema. And she looked on the internet. Now, we're talking about 2001, so it was in fairly early stages. She lived in England. And she found an alternative clinic that would do manual lymph drainage in London. And she went to that clinic.
So what do you mean by an alternative clinic?
Well, the normal run-of-the-mill GPs, general practitioners, or the hospitals didn't really do anything about it. I think the National Health System gave you an elastic stocking.
So let's be clear about this. This is actually a secondary effect of the operation she had?
It's a secondary effect of the removal of the lymph nodes, which they do in case the cancer can pass into the lymph nodes and therefore get taken around the body. Well, I think it had already done that. Anyway, she went to this place and she had manual lymph drainage, and it helped her a lot, because what they do is to take the lymph away from where it's blocked and massage it to another part of the lymph system so it can drain away. So her swelling went down and it gave her a lot of reprieve.
Here in Italy, Pat pointed out, manual lymph drainage is a widespread practice and people turn to it for a number of health and beauty reasons. But in Britain, it is not.
And so I thought, well, we should try to put this on the map. And we had, I think it was in 2002, her anniversary, there was a service for her in memory at Westminster Cathedral, and I asked everyone back to my flat near there for a drink, and I told them about my idea that I wanted to do something in Katie's memory, and they were all very pleased. So I decided that because this was so unknown in Britain, I would try to do something about that. When I got back to Rome, I rang up our extremely well-known and prestigious cancer hospital called the Royal Marsden, and I asked to speak to the chief fundraiser, and I said I was calling from Rome, which I think helped because they were curious. And I said, next time I'm in Britain, I would like to come and see you, which indeed is what we did. And I went with Emma Greenwood, who's my administrative person. And the lady there, Angela Roden, was extremely good. And she said, well, I have to ask the powers that be to see if you can fundraise for this, because we have a school of nursing. It's one of the few in the country that a hospital run. And they do teach, or they want to teach, manual lymph drainage to nurses. So she got permission from the powers that be for us to hook on to the Royal Marsden, and that has been a great solace for us because it has a lot of prestige, so it gives us clout. And we were able to launch in 2004, And I had someone on my team then who was a PR person, and they got the Good Housekeeping to launch us. So we were in the magazine of Good Housekeeping. We were launched at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel in London, which used to be the old Hyde Park Hotel. Very nice. And it's gone from strength to strength from there.
What is the name of the foundation?
Katie's Lymphedema Fund. And we got permission to raise funds for scholarships for nurses to come to the Royal Marsden to learn how to do manual lymph drainage.
It sounds like quite a simple idea, and it
yes.
makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
What you're aiming for is to enable a lot more people in Britain to have the benefit of being able to be treated with this manual lymph drainage, which is
yes.
quite a simple technique, I understand.
Simple technique. We don't need any sophisticated medicines or equipment. That's probably why it's not very well known, because the chemical companies are not involved in this.
Absolutely.
But we hope to put it on the map, and I think more and more you hear about it. So we need to get more publicity in England, I think, about it, because even local GPs don't know about it.
I wonder why in Italy it's such common practice and in the UK it isn't.
I don't know if it's something to do with our basic Puritan attitude about massage. Massage parlours have always had a bad reputation, really, and so I think massage hasn't been a very well-liked, or it hasn't had a very good name in Britain.
Your fund, as you say, was actually launched in 2004.
Yes.
So it's been going for 4 years.
Yes.
And tell me about what you've achieved in this time, and how are you seeing any results?
Yes, well, we've achieved quite a lot. On our latest newsletter, which you have in front of you, you can see the amount of monies we've collected. And every year we have a lunch at Fortnum & Mason's, which is a very well-known shop opposite the Royal Academy, and in their big St. James's restaurant. We have about 170 people there. That's all we can fit in. A lot of them from the original Good Housekeeping launch. And that gives us a lot of publicity. We also sell cards there. I do the cards for Christmas, and we have Christmas lunches and coffee parties here in Palocco. We had a Christmas card lunch 2 weeks ago in London, and we made over £800, which was very good.
I understand that you yourself paint the Christmas cards.
Yes, I do. And the notelets, which we are allowed by Fortnum's mm-hmm. to sell at the luncheon in February.
Well, the figures Pat was mentioning were right in front of my nose in the newsletter she had brought me. They revealed that this past year of fundraising has made over 16,000 British pounds to be presented to the Royal Marsden School of Nursing, and that to date, Katie's Lymphedema Fund has donated 27,000 pounds.
What we're very pleased about, we've just met about 6 months ago the new chief nurse of the Marsden, and she's coming to our next lunch, which is always the last Monday of February, to speak to us. Now, she has been given a six-month project by the National Health Service. It has two themes. One is aftercare for cancer patients, and the other one is lymphedema, which, of course, we can slot very nicely into. And she will talk to the luncheon. And she says that she's going to make lymphedema much better known in Britain. And, of course, she's in the position to do it. And she will talk to matrons of hospitals, and particularly in London and so on.
Surely it can't take a very long time or a lot of money to train nurses to do this practice.
I don't actually know how long the training is, but we give scholarships of, I think it's £500 mm-hmm. a nurse. And we have also just contributed, it was either £4,000 or £5,000 to an online system that the Marsden will put out. And nurses who can't get to London can at least do the theory mm-hmm. by slotting into this online course. And we also have donated books for nurses, textbooks which they need and perhaps can't afford. And I think the thing that appeals to British people who are already involved is the nursing profession, because they've always been underpaid and overworked, and they have a a good reputation on the whole, so they're quite sympathetic towards their cause.
It's Advent, and maybe it's a good time to talk about reaching out to people and raising awareness. As the Pope said, I think it was yesterday, he said, Advent is the time during which the Lord speaks to the hearts of people. And basically that's why you're here, that's why you're doing this. You've lost your daughter, you won't get her back, but there's so many other people who can benefit from this relatively simple technique. It can, I think, from what I understand, it won't cure, but it can improve life
their
conditions
way of life,
incredibly.
Yes.
Am I mistaken?
No, you're not. Also, I think we've concentrated on the breast cancer because that's what Katie had, but, you know, men also can get, I mean, anyone can get lymphedema in different parts of the body. Mm-hmm. It's really a blockage of the lymph system.
And it can touch anyone, as
yes.
we know. It's,
yes.
It's across the spectrum.
Yes, it is.
Has doing this helped you in any way come to terms with what happened?
Yes, I think it does. I think it can never heal completely, but I think Katie would be amused and delighted too. And she'd be thrilled that her friends have been so supportive. You know, there are other friends who do all sorts of things, like bring raffle prizes to the lunch and so on and so forth. It's a compensation, isn't it, for the loss of a child, which is probably one of the worst things that can happen to anybody, but it does give you something positive to do, and I hope, you know, will spread in England and that they will get this show on the road, you know, that the ordinary GP will be able to say, well, you need this and you can have it that way, because up to now it has been very little known.
And now, although in a completely different mode, I'm staying with Advent because, as I did mention earlier, it's the time we think about buying gifts for our friends and our family. So why not give an ethical gift this year? Like a trip to the dentist, a cow, or a night in a malnutrition ward for someone who needs the help. These are clearly virtual gifts I'm talking about, and according to Daniel Charles, head of Present Aid, despite the global economic crisis, more and more people, it seems, are shunning socks and soap on a rope in favour of virtual gifts to help people in the developing world. But first of all, I asked Daniel, what exactly is Present Aid?
Present Aid is a gift catalogue from Christian Aid, which is an alternative type of gift catalogue. So we have things like ducks and we have cows, tube wells, saplings, lots of different types of gifts you can buy that aren't normal gifts, but they're gifts that are there to help people in the developing world. Now, all of our gifts are examples of the work we do, and the price reflects that actual item, but the money doesn't necessarily buy those items. We have a fund so that if you buy something like pigs for someone, it actually goes to an agriculture and livestock fund, and that's done just to ensure that we can spend the money, because we don't want lots of pigs left over where we can't spend the money and the money's in a bank account because we've fulfilled all our projects that use pigs. So that's what it is. It's an alternative way of giving to charity, but it's also producing a gift for someone, for a loved one or a friend who you think would like this type of giving. And so when you buy an item, like the pigs again, if you You choose that, you send in your order to Christian Aid, and we send back a card to you, and that card explains the case study that's in the catalogue about how the pigs help someone in the developing world, and in that instance it's Nicaragua. So that's what it is. It's really just a great way of giving an alternative, meaningful gift at Christmas or any other time of the year.
I was reading your press release and it's very encouraging. You actually say that charity is booming despite the crunch. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we've certainly found that we've had quite a surprising increase in the amount of people who have been purchasing gifts this year. With the credit crunch, we weren't sure how this would affect sales or donations to Present Aid. But we think it's partly down to the fact that people are looking for gifts that have a bit more meaning, because money's tight for individuals. They're thinking, well, I don't want to just buy something that someone's going to already have or just doesn't need. I really want my money to be useful, what I spend my money on to be useful. So therefore, we feel that people are looking at Present Aid type of gifts because they realise that, actually, I can buy someone a pair of socks, but it'll just go to the back of the drawer, or I can buy them something that goes to the back of the cupboard, whereas this they'll get, they'll think it's a great gift, and actually it'll be more useful than anything else I could get them. And it just makes people resonate a bit, I think, with those in the developing world. As things get tighter here, you become less internal, I think, and you start to see how much more your money can do. Even if it's only £20 or £15, it can do so much more than just buy a couple of pairs of socks or some boxes of chocolate.
I looked through your catalogue. Actually, I was so struck by it, I bought a gift. And I was struck not only by the pigs and water gifts, but also by the dancing classes, for example.
Yeah. The
pair of glasses and reading classes. What are the most popular gifts that you find people go for?
Well, a lot of the time it is the animal type of gifts. We've found that the goats have been very popular in the past, and the ducks. But we also find that if something's quite newsworthy, so last year we had a disaster survival kit in there, which is in there again this year. But because it's for helping people in Bangladesh when there's floods, we found because that was happening last year, that became the most popular gift, because obviously it resonated with the work that was happening in that country at the time. But generally, we do find it's the animals, the more fun gifts, the things that people on Christmas Day can give to one another. And there's a serious message there, but it's also kind of quite fun as well. So it doesn't become too worthy a gift or message to people.
Now, you yourself said it's getting tighter here for us. That means it's getting tighter the world around, especially for the extremely poor. In fact, the World Bank estimated that as a result of this economic crisis, the number of poor has increased by 100 million. Is this a way of I don't know, reaching out to these people?
It definitely is. I think it does make a link for people because they can see the type of work we do. It's not just can you give money to help people in Africa or in Bangladesh or other countries in the developing world. It shows the type of work that goes on and the varied ways that people are helped, because it's not just about putting food in people's hands. It's about teaching them how to farm, how to create food for themselves so they have a sustainable life.
You did mention a £15 or £20 gift, but what is the price range we're talking about?
We have everything from a basketball at £8 to our rather more expensive items, which we have treatment for two children in a malnutrition ward in Guatemala, which is £860. And there's different prices throughout. So as I say, £860 is the most. Then we've got 8 is the cheapest, but then we've got lots of items at around £25 or £40 or £50. So we try and ensure we've got something for everyone's pocket.
So no excuses there.
No.
Now, finally, I think one interesting statistic I read, and that I don't know if you want to comment on, is that the British women appear to be more charitable than their male counterparts.
It definitely seems true. We do find that more women buy through Present Aid, and also that they generally give to charities more than the British male counterpart. I'm not sure with something like Present Aid if it's just because women do a lot more of the shopping, they put a lot more thought into what they do, and men just go out and make one big purchase, make a big gesture, and so there's a bit less thought, it's more looked at the price. I don't know if that's the reason or not. It's a difficult one to comment on, but I think it is that women actually do stop and have a little bit more thought about the gifts that they're going to buy for their friends and family.
I agree with you there, actually. Now, I understand there's a deadline date for giving Christmas gifts through Present Aid.
Well, we do have a date where we say we'll ensure that your card gets to you, which is to ensure that we've got your order by the 15th of December. Now, you can order online at presentaid.org, and there's also a phone number, which is 0845 330 500. But you can order after that deadline. We just don't want to say that you'll definitely get the card in time for Christmas if you do order beyond that date, but we'll still dispatch and try and get it to you as soon as possible.
Right, and orders can be made from anywhere in Europe and around the world?
Yeah, our website would take orders from anywhere. We have had orders from as far away as Australia. We've had them from Spain. So we do deliver everywhere.
Daniel,
yes?
One last thing. Is there anything you'd like to say to Vatican Radio listeners?
Well, I'd like to wish everyone a happy Christmas, and I'd really like them to consider buying a gift from Present Aid, because, as I've said throughout the interview, it does so much good in the developing world, and it's a gift that gives twice, really. So I'd like everyone to think about to consider Present Aid anyway, and again, wish you all a happy Christmas.
That's all from the English feature programme today, and from me, Linda Bordoni. But we'll be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus.